Gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thee tonight, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Knowing, Father, that you came down with a shout, which is very important to us because it is a message of the hour. It is that which brings deliverance and mercy to your bride. Help us, O God, to receive, thus saith the Lord, and as your prophet said, to say only what's on the tapes, to say all that is on the tapes. For we find that the Apostle Paul said the very same words. He said, if even I come, or an angel comes, and brings any other gospel than that which I have preached, let him be cursed. So, Lord, we know that your prophet only came not to bring a new message, but to echo that which the Apostle Paul brought. Father, we're thankful for that. We ask that you'd help us also to echo. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to pick up at paragraph 99 this evening. And I entitled it Life or Death. Brother Ransom, they came from all Egypt to gather into one place so that they could be under this token. And they come from Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Pentecostals, everything else, to get under the token, just exactly like it was then. It was a pillar of fire which represented them. And one told the other, and another told another, and another told another, and first thing you know, here they all begin to come. And they begin to come, and they watched the sign of God. That's the sign of Messiah. They said, judgment's at hand. And then the prophet said, I've heard from God, and there will be a token. And you put the blood upon the door and slay the lamb and put the blood upon the door, and that'll be a token because death is fixing to strike. Now let me tell you today, as his servant, unless the token is on the door, there is a spiritual death going to strike. And all churches are headed back for the World Council of Churches. Let me just say this. He said all churches. Do you believe a vindicated prophet? All right. That anyone, any church outside the token is going to go into that World Council of Churches. You're talking message churches too. He said all churches are headed back for the World Council of Churches. They're all going back to Catholicism. You say, not from this message. Listen, they've already gone back. There's such a Nicolaitan spirit out there. They think you've got to hear it from this brother, you've got to hear it from this brother in order to make the message. I mean, in order to make it. That's a Nicolaitan spirit. Even Brother Vail hammered that 36 times. He says they're all going back to Catholicism, and only those who are genuine, born again, are going to stay out. Remember, not you Pentecostal denominations, because you're already in it. The Pentecostals are already in it. That's what he said.
Right.
Now remember, he says, because you're already in it. Shows they are dead. They are perished. They sacrificed and they went back and they put him outside the door, but he's looking for the token. Because the only thing that they relied upon was speaking in tongues. Don't you rely upon no speaking in tongues, no nothing else, but let the token itself be there. The person of Jesus Christ, his own life in you. Circumcise, not just this, that, but circumcise your whole being till you and Christ are one. Christ in you and his life lives out through you. That's why Brother Bell told me, one of the last things he told me when I got on tape. He said, Brian, he said, don't preach doctrine so much anymore. He said, preach the life. They're not going to make it without it. You think, well, we can make it with the doctrine. Listen, I can show you a church of God that preaches the doctrine the same as Brother Bell did. Just one difference. The pre-incarnate Christ. They preached one God, and he had a son, and the son was not God, but he was the Son of God. And that's exactly the way Brother Branham taught it. And the Church of God is teaching it that way. A version or a branch of the Church of God and their denomination. They've got the mark of the beast. So you can have the doctrine right and have the mark of the beast. It's not about doctrine. It's about the life of Christ. Either Christ is living in you or he's not living in you.
Amen.
Good grief. Since when has God made doctrine his whatever. God has not made doctrine his stamp of approval. He's made the life, his life. There's only one life that's acceptable, and that's the life of his son. And that life isn't in you, then forget it. But if you have that life in you, you'll come to the doctrine, and you won't turn the doctrine down.
Sure.
Now, notice it said all churches are headed back to the World Council of Churches. They're all going back to Catholicism. And only those who are genuine, born again, are going to stay out. So you had better get the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, or you'll end up with all the others who do not have the Holy Ghost, and you'll end up in Satan's camp. Now let me tell you something. Do not let anything distract you from the shout, which God himself brought down with himself from heaven in this hour, and in which he spoke through the lips of his prophet, who he vindicated himself with his own presence. And anything that is taught that is contrary to the shout is of the devil, and you must stay away from it. From the sign of his coming, Brother Branham said, so now then, if a true prophet stays with the word, and you see the manifestation of the word, like Micaiah did, like Moses, like all of them did, then a false prophet would be one that would cause you to try to make you dismayed about the signs of God's word. And he'd be a false prophet. Jesus said, beware of them, and they will fool or deceive the very elected if it was possible. See, they'll come right up there and claim to be everything else, but they just, when they go to moving away from that word, you move away too. Move away from them and stay with the word. I'm going to say something this evening that may get some people pretty upset with me, but I don't care really what people think. You know that. I only care what God thinks. Most all the Pentecostal denomination churches, and many in this message, are running blindly after men like J.C. and J.H., if you don't know who they are, Jonathan Kahn and John Hagee. And their sensationalistic sermons have been pumping up the people for a fall. Everything is a Jewish mystery to them, and everything has been hidden until now, according to these guys. And that's a bunch of hogwash. If you need a Jew to tell you what this Bible means, then you don't need the Holy Ghost. Now, I've been watching them. I agree with some of the things they say, but you know what? I don't agree with where they stand because they're both Trinitarians. And Trinitarianism is of the devil. And you also have forgotten that God has already come down with a shout, if you're following these guys. And he has revealed all the mysteries that we should be concerned with. So be very careful, brothers and sisters. Be very, very careful. These men are not vindicated. They do not teach this message, the message that God himself came down with. And these men are Trinitarians and thus Catholic in spirit and in doctrine. Because if they baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are Catholic. And that's according to your own Catholic teaching. Now, that ought to warn you enough. And one of these men believes his ministry is a prophetic ministry with a prophetic message. That would make him a prophet in his own eyes. And seeing that he's Trinitarian, that would make him a false prophet. And if he is a prophet with a message, then that means he has a false message because he's a false prophet. Or it makes him a false prophet because he has a false message. Now, we've seen our last sign. And it is the sign of Messiah, and we've heard the last message, the shout of God, and the next thing is the voice of the resurrection. Then God returns to the Jews. Now, Brother Branham, vindicated by God himself, said in a sermon, Revelation chapter 4, part 3, the Throne of Mercy, said, now, my precious brothers, I know this is a tape also. Now, don't get excited, but let me say this with godly love. The hour has approached where I can't hold still on these things no more. Too close to the coming. See, Trinitarianism is of the devil. I say that, thus saith the Lord. Look where it come from. It come from the Nicene Council when the Catholic Church become in rulership. The word Trinity is not even mentioned in the entire book of the Bible. And as far as three gods, that's from hell. There's one God, and that's exactly right. Now, he might be preaching holiness, these guys. Well, one of them is, one isn't. Which we all agree with, holiness. And he might be preaching about America as a sodomite nation. That's good also. But even Balaam, who we know to be a false prophet, did prophesy. And that prophecy is still coming to pass today. After, 3,000, 4,000 years. He that blesses Israel will be blessed. And he that curses Israel will be cursed. That was a prophecy from Balaam. Quoted by almost every single pope in this nation. So what made Baal false was his teaching that we are all one. And God never did forgive Israel for believing that message. From trying to do God a service, and God told Balaam that he was the prophet first, and he told him, don't go down, but the influence of these other men caused him to do it contrary to what God said to do it. And he became a curse instead of a revival. Oh, sure, he got down there and he taught the people, saying, now look, wait, you know what? He said, we are Moabites. You remember Lot's daughter is our queen. She's our origination. We're all of one blood. We're all. All of us denominations are the same. Don't you mix with that thing. Stay away from there. See? So he said, we're all the same. Why, your peoples is like my peoples. We can intermarry among one among another, so we can have a real ecumenical council, see? All of us can get together and come back to the original thing again. And God cursed the thing. That sin never was forgiven, Israel. It stayed with them the rest of their days, and it never was forgiven. And they perished in the wilderness with it. That's right. Because they didn't take God's provided way by his vindicated way of doing it. And notice, this thing that they did caused Israel to die in the wilderness. And Jesus said there, everyone perished and gone. Watch who it was stood with Moses back there. It was Joshua and Caleb. And the program, and I know he means the program of God. Now for the Pergamene church age, he said, now notice, as they journey, they come up to this formal hybrid church, and they said, we're passing through to a revival. Excuse me, we're going over to the promised land. Will you permit us to go through? If our cattle licks up and eat our grass, if they drink any water, we'll pay you for it. But then what did Balak, King Balak, do? He got all excited, and he didn't want such a meeting as that in his church or his land. So what did he do? He sent over to the Pope, or to the bishop, or Balaam, you know, a hireling prophet, one that loved money more than he loved God. And the king Balak told him, if you come out here and curse this people, I'll make you a great person. And God spoke to Balaam. Wonder how many Balaams is in the world tonight? Methodist ministers, Baptist ministers, Catholic priests, mercy. That knows God. And if you read the same history in the same book that I do, Balaam. In other words, they know God. They talk to God. Sometimes they get answers from God. But they hold to a false theology. They hold to a false doctrine. From earnestly contending for the faith, he said, now look, he's going to let us know what that false doctrine is. Now look, you can be just as fundamental. People preach the virgin birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the second coming. That's true. All of it. I couldn't fuss with you about that. You believe it. And it's the truth. And I do too. And so did Balaam. So did Israel. But what Balak seen or failed to see there, down here in this camp, they had signs and wonders of following them. That's what they failed to say today. They're just as fundamental as we are. They believe it just the same way that we do. In other words, doctrinally, they're all the same. But they deny that there is a resurrection power working among the people. Well did the Holy Ghost speak that it would be that way. Paul said in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of God-likeness, but denying the power thereof. Hallelujah. And from I will restore, Brother Brown said, these, you see these two coming up together. There they was, right along about here now. One's fundamental, just as fundamental as Cain was, just as fundamental as Abel was. And here they are, just as fundamental as Moses, so was Balaam. Both of them, the same sacrifice, perhaps, I'd make it like this for today. Both reading out of the same Bible. What made the difference? If they were fundamental, if they were church members, if they were believers in God, they wasn't worshiping an idol. They were worshiping God, the same God. They were worshiping, but the difference of it was they have glory down here, and they had signs and wonders and miracles, and they had nothing but fundamentalism. One had it all, the other had doctrine only. That's what fundamentalism is. It's doctrine. They had doctrine, but brother, they didn't have the life that goes with it. They didn't have that resurrection power living in them. See, hallelujah. They had a pillar of fire hanging over them. They had signs and wonders in the camp. When they got sick, they had healing, a healing rock. Hallelujah. God was vindicating his people. Both of them was fundamental, but he said, this is it. God's doing the same thing today. Hallelujah. That vine's coming on up, going on up through the clouds now. We're getting ready for the rapture. And from earnestly contending for the faith. You see, it's going to be so close, it'll deceive the very elect if it was possible. That means God be right in this message. And if it's so close, that means you can look at them and examine doctrine. It's almost the same, just about the same. But one has the life, that resurrection power, the other one hasn't. And the one that has the life and resurrection power is going to be resurrected, the other one's not. From earnestly contending for the faith. And now notice that Balaam back there, can't read that guy yet. Look at him standing there. He's just as fundamental in his doctrine as he was down there. So when he's talking about fundamentalism, he's talking about the doctrine as they was down there, the same doctrine, but they did not have the signs and wonders. And this group had the signs and wonders. See, all they had a divine healing program on. These guys didn't know nothing about it. It ain't typical today. I don't know it. You see the two walking so close? I'm trying to do God a service. And now, notice in this now. David thought that he had everything in order and he was inspired. See how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man? But it's got to be in the order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and the soul is dark as pitch. The cockleburr grows on the same water that builds, puts life into the wheat, puts life into the cockleburr. But at the bottom of the cockleburr, it's a cockleburr life. It's rejoicing and blooming and got life and doing everything that the wheat does, but the soul of it is a cockleburr. See, false teachers can rise, teaching all kinds of Trinitarianism and everything else, and be anointed with the Holy Ghost and perform as many miracles as the true gospel can. But by the word here, what does it do? See what I mean? Now look. He's not calling Balaam Trinitarianism. He's saying Balaam was just as fundamental in doctrine. Now you're talking about Trinitarians and they got... Look, you've got people that got doctrine, you've got people that got doctrine and the life and the resurrection power. Now you've got Trinitarians that got power, but they don't have the life and they don't have that resurrection power. Why we're not denomination? See, your creeds and denominations have barred God away like that till, and we believe this, and we believe the days of miracles is past. Well, it's a false prophet that says that. It's a false prophet that tells you that you can shake hands and receive the Holy Ghost. It's a false prophet that tells you that you can receive the Holy Ghost when you believe. It's a false prophet that tells you that you should be poured out, you should be poured and sprinkled instead of baptizing. It's a false prophet that tells you to be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when there's no scripture for it in the Bible. That's right. There's not a scripture in the Bible that tells you to be baptized where anybody was ever baptized, only in the name of Jesus. Only part. John's disciples, they had to come and be rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to get the Holy Ghost. That's right. Now, that's not Jesus' only doctrine. I know Jesus' only doctrine. That's not it. That's this Bible doctrine. That's right. But there you are. What do you do with it? There's your mammy. There's your mammy in those creeds. In other words, Catholic Church. From power transformations. Now, if not, sin lies at the door, unbelief lays. Then he becomes willfully in disobedient. And when you know to do good and you do it not, to you it is sin. If you know what's right and you don't do it, see, then he becomes willfully disobedient, and after the word has been vindicated, then he crosses across that separating line. In other words, he knows to do right and he doesn't do it, and he crosses that line. Then he was ousted from Eden when he crossed. And there's a line to where you just go so far and you go any further over on the other side, you're out. You know that, don't you? There's a line. And if you don't believe it, you can read Hebrews 10:26. That's the scripture I was referring to, see? For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That's the New Testament, is that right? If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge, it's been preached to you, read to you, proved to you, and after we see the knowledge of the truth, and you go ahead and unbelieve willfully, there's no more sacrifice for sin. But a fearful looking to the fiery indignation, who shall devour the adversary? Is that right? You can cross that line like the children of Israel did in their journey coming through the wilderness. Israel did the same. After they'd heard Moses' message and seen it vindicated, listened to a false prophet that said, oh, now look, children, we're all the same. We should marry one among one another. And we should do this. And Moses had told them different. And seeing God vindicate it, because Balaam seemed to be a more instructive man than Moses was. See, he come from a great nation where there was great people and was all organized together. And the land of Moab, great armies and great things that the people in them days would have feared. And here come a prophet down, a prophet, anointed one. False anointed one? See? Come down to an anointed one. Look how close, and taught the people, and many of them went after that. Don't you never forget that, see? Went after the thing that wasn't the word, the vindicated, proven word. So I don't care how much they talk about Shemitah and not Shemitah. And you know, it's a word. It's in there. But the fact is, the prophet didn't focus on those things. They can talk about moons and blood moons and everything else. That's good. But it's not what the bride is to be focused on. We're to be focused on Christ. That's it. On Christ. He's our example. He's what it's all about. From why we're not denominations, then what's the matter? Oh, it's a meal ticket. Well, you know, I'm a pastor of the biggest church there is in the city. You Baptists and Methodists listening to a false prophet? Now, that's rough, but anything that teaches contrary to this Bible is a false prophet. I don't care how polished it may be, it's false prophecy. That's right. Oh, everything's all right as long as you got your name in the book. You might have your name on a dozen books. If it ain't on the book of life, you're lost. You can be ever so good. You can be just as loyal and clean and moral as you can be. That won't have one thing to do with it. So God keeps his word. He says, every time the people are gathered together at the end of the road, at a junction, God sends a true prophet and the devil sends a false prophet. I think it's interesting that he talks about that at a junction because, you know, we've had this Jade Helm thing come through in the United States. People are all worried about what it might be. We don't know. I really don't care. I don't care if they're getting everybody in place for the takeover. Who cares? But you know, the EU is going through one right now. They started October 3rd, and it's called the something Junction 15. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, it's got Junction in there. I thought it was interesting. Junction 15. And there's 30 nations gathering together, and there's 36,000 troops. It's going to be one of the largest they've ever had. And Obama's sending over a representative from the United States to tell Israel that they can no longer have the atomic bomb. You turn in your atomic bombs, and we'll let you be part of our contingency. If not, then you're against us. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're letting Iran have the atomic bomb. Well, what does that tell you? When God keeps his word, he says, then they got them a false prophet when they won't receive the truth. Though it be in the minority, they'll raise them up a false prophet. The Bible said in the last days that false prophets, the people would heed for themselves teachers having itching ears and would be turned away from the truth and the fables. Now, God is to keep his word. He has to do it. Turned away from the truth and the fables. And you notice they wanted God another man by the name of Korah. And Korah got all the people together, as many as he could, and he pulled them off and segregated them from the rest of them, and he started himself a little denomination of his own, saying, there's more prophets besides Moses. There's more holy men besides Moses. Listen to Moses, you might get confused. Now listen to Korah. Huh? Aren't they saying the same thing today? Yeah. We are all holy men, and each one of us has just as much right to believe this as they had to believe that. But brother, it was a lie to begin with. Well, that's what they're all saying. Out the people that have left the message totally and those that have left the message internally, they're all saying the same thing. I don't see the difference between those who say, you got to listen to brother so-and-so, but if you listen to brother Branham, you're going to be confused. And those people that believe the sign guys that say, if you listen to brother Branham, you're going to be confused. They're all confused. And brother Vail himself said they're all confused. He said the reason they're confused is because they got mud for brains. And their brains are all muddy. And that's why they think that something Brother Brown says is confused. If you know your Bible, what he said is not confused. That's why we take almost everything he says here and we take it back to the Scriptures. God's power to transform said, Israel did the same thing after they seen Moses vindicated and then let Balaam spray them. That precious vindicated seed, Pastor, don't you ever say nothing against this word. Look at Balaam, he was a prophet. And he seen the seed of God vindicated, but under his own great denomination that he lived in, Moab seen that bunch of wanderers coming through the land, and he sprayed it. And he said, well, wait a minute, we're all Christians, we're all believers. Why, our fathers and your fathers are the same. Aren't we Lot's children? Wasn't Lot Abraham's nephew? Aren't we all the same? Let's marry one another. And Israel, as even the Garden of Eden, let Satan spray. He also sprayed Israel through a false prophet, when the real prophet was with them, with vindicated word, but by intellectual knowledge conception, he sprayed them. Now think of it. Now it was never forgiven, and the sin was never forgiven. And from anointed ones at the end time, he said, reprobates concerning the truth. Not reprobates in living. They're fine, cultured men. Now, notice, when Moses went down to Egypt with a message of, thus saith the Lord, and was vindicated, called on Israel, which was a people, not a church. Israel was a people. They never was a church. Because the word church means called out ones. They were the people of God. Then when they become anointed under the word and called out, they become the church of God, and then backslid, because they believed not the word of God and listened to a false prophet. I hope that sinks in. Israel, being a people of God, come out under the hand of God, anointed with the word, with the power of God, seeing the signs and wonders of God. And then when God was moving on with them, a false prophet come in, anointed, and taught something contrary to the original word of God that they heard. And every one of them perished in the wilderness besides three. What caused them to deviate? It was teaching that was contrary to a vindicated prophet. Now, as we begin to look at John, 2 John 8, he says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have worked for, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever goes beyond the limits and remains not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Echoes not God. He that remains in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. That Greek word is echo. So I see here that the real test at the end time will be whether we remain in the doctrine of Christ, focused on Christ, or whether we go out from it and are tempted with the doctrine of Balaam. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, this is quite a statement from the Apostle John, because it's very strong language concerning the doctrine of Christ and our behavior towards them that do not believe it. And John said, if you even bid Godspeed to those who do not have this doctrine, you're participating in their evil deeds. So what are these evil deeds John's speaking of here? And why is he so strong in his language towards those who oppose the doctrine of Christ? Now, the word John used for evil was translated from the Greek word poneros. Now, this word poneros speaks of evil in effect or influence. Notice, evil in influence. What did Balaam do? It's evil influence. And it differs from the Greek words for evil, which have to do with the essential character, as well as those words which speak of degeneracy. This word poneros also is used to refer to the devil himself, and thus his influence upon others. So what John is saying is that those who do not have the doctrine of Christ are teaching contrary to the doctrine of Christ, and if you assist them in any way, you are in essence assisting the devil himself. That is why Brother Vail is so careful not to assist with funds those who teach wrong concerning the Godhead, which is the doctrine of Christ. Why? Because to fund heresy, or one who preaches it, is to assist and to spread it. Now, let's take a further look at this word poneros, as John used it in 1 John 3 and 12. Notice here he says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and that word for wicked one is the Greek word poneros. Again, it speaks of a person of the devil himself. And he slew his brother, and wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil. Notice that Cain's works are said also to be poneros, which means that if he was of that poneros one, then the influence of that poneros one also affected his sacrifice to God, and thus had made that sacrifice itself evil. But notice it said that Abel's sacrifice was righteous, his brother's righteous. Now we know that this word righteous, it actually means rightly wise. We see that Abel's offering was based upon revelation, which is faith, and that is something that comes from God alone. Thus, by revelation, he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Cain's sacrifice was not a wrong sacrifice. In fact, Cain had a biblical sacrifice, as you see in Deuteronomy 26. For it was a first fruit offering, which was a harvest offering, which represented the time of the rapture. But it was evil because it was out of season. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9. In the book of Jude, we're warned at the end time, there will be those who depart from the faith, and who go in, that's the revelation, there's only one revelation, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's who God is, and all about him. Notice, and they will go in the way of Cain. Now Cain was the first on earth to depart from the presence of the Lord. And those that departed from the presence of the Lord will be religious, just like Cain was, and they will make great sacrifice to God, like Cain did, but their sacrifice will be considered evil, just like Cain's was, even though it's scriptural. Look, a first fruit offering was a resurrection offering, right? First fruits, it's resurrection, it's harvest time. Harvest speaks of resurrection, rapture. but it was without the shedding of blood. In other words, I'm good the way I am. I just give you my best. I'm good the way I am. I'm going to the rapture. No, you're not. You got to die and rot to yourself and have the life of Christ, because God will only accept one life, and that's the life of His Son, Jesus. And it's already been accepted. You know, in the book of Jude, we're warned at the end time that there will be those who depart from the faith and will go in the way of Cain. Cain was the first on earth to depart from the presence of the Lord. How did he depart from the presence of the Lord? Notice, he refused the revelation of the Lamb. And he killed Abel to give it to him. And those who depart from the presence of the Lord will be religious, just like Cain was, and they will make great sacrifices to God like Cain did, but their sacrifice will be considered evil, just like Cain's was. Notice further that Jude described these men not only as following the way of Cain, but notice also that Jude warns us that these men shall also follow after the error of Balaam, and they will do it for money, just like Balaam did. Jude 1:11, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward. Notice that they ran greedily. In other words, these are greedy men, and they run after the error of Balaam because of their greed. So what was the error of Balaam that men will run after? After because of greed? The error of Balaam is a message of unity. Bring everyone together, for after all, are we not all the same? And they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. What was the gainsaying of Korah? Korah led a rebellion against Moses and said, we're holy too. And all the people are holy, and why do you take it upon yourself to rule over us? There's plenty of room for more than just one to rule. We're holy too, you see. It was the gainsaying of Korah. There was something in it for him to gain from what he said. They didn't want a one-man message with a one-man ministry, so they rebelled using the multitude of people to stand with them against the movement of God. In other words, like I've heard some of these ministers in this message, they say, well, you know, God's using the fivefold ministry, hallelujah. Well, if the fivefold ministry is saying anything contrary to what the prophet said, then it ain't hallelujah. It's to hell with you. It doesn't sound the same, does it? Hallelujah and to hell with you. It's about the same, though. At both poles. In other words, just like Korah, just like Dathan, hey, Moses, back off. We've got the ball now. We're going to run with it. Didn't Brother Bell always warn us? God gave the ball to one man in this hour. So they rebelled, using the multitudes of people to stand with them against the movement of God. And they are doing the same thing today, saying, we are a fivefold ministry. We got something to speak to, because God doesn't speak through just one man. And right there, they separated themselves from the true fivefold ministry, who will only say what the vindicated prophet told them to say. He says, say what's on the tapes and only what's on the tapes. I hear people put stuff on, you know, on the internet all the time. And they come up with these new shiny little things. And they get excited. They run after them. And I can say, brother, give me Bible verse. Give me scripture. And give me quotes from a vindicated prophet of God. Because I'm not interested in anything else. And if you don't got it, then just let it go. Sure. It's just a deception waiting just to catch you. Now notice how Jude continues to describe these false ministers at the end time. He says, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with who? You. That means they're sitting in the pew with you, feeding themselves without fear. Notice it says, when they feast with you. So these are men, these are those who come right into the message and start eating with us from the spiritual food in due season that was laid up for us. But the message did not go out to them. They came to the message. Excuse me. And then notice that Jude further describes these men by saying they're clouds without witness, or without water, excuse me. Now, cloud without water is one without rain. And Paul calls a witness of what took place, he calls them clouds. He calls them clouds of witnesses. So clouds represents people who have witnessed this end time ministry, but those without water are those who are witnesses without understanding the doctrine that the prophet brought. Now you see the importance of the doctrine. Paul spoke in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Yet Jude speaks of these clouds as having no water. These clouds are without water. He says, therefore, clouds without rain. Now, why is that so significant? Because God said in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 1, Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak unto you, O earth, the words of my mouth. Notice, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender earth, and as it showers upon the grass. So Jude 12 tells us they're carried about of winds, trees without fruit, or whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Notice, without fruit. Brother, I said that the fruit is the teaching of the season. So they're without teaching, they're without doctrine, and also there is no life. Because the fruit of the womb is life. The fruit itself is life. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out the shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. So if these are clouds which are witnesses, think it not strange that there are so many witnesses to the ministry of William Branham who haven't got a clue to the doctrine that he taught. We are warned here in Scripture in 2 Peter of the same, as well as the Apostle Paul. Now notice here that Jude said clouds, not cloud, but clouds plural. Now this brings us to the fact that there are two doctrines which are predominant in this hour. The doctrine of Christ, for which if you do not have that doctrine, you do not even have God. That's what John said in 2 John 8. And then there is a doctrine of Balaam, which we are warned about, that will come in among us. And notice we're warned that men will run after the doctrine of Balaam because of their greed. Now the doctrine of Balaam, why because of greed? Because they get bigger crowds, they got bigger paycheck. Let things go, let the church build up. You can make a lot of money. Preach to the four posts of the church, you're not going to make a lot of money. But you're going to please God. Take your pick. The doctrine of Balaam is not that he went for money, but the doctrine of Balaam is that he tried to unite the people of God with those people who are not of God. And in order to do that, they must forsake the right way, which is God's way. And he says, and they ran after the greedy, with greed after the way of Korah. 2 Peter 2 and 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now notice he loved not the wages, but he loved the wages of unrighteousness. In other words, the wrong understanding pays. In other words, there's more money in preaching error than truth. I think it's quite interesting that there's people that I know, and they'll have guys that are trying to pump the people, and they're very famous, and they'll preach a lot of sensationalism, and they'll talk about them on their Facebook page and this and that. And then they call me and they tell me how much they appreciate what I'm preaching and everything else, but you'll never hear a word publicly about it. Now, you know why? I'll tell you why, because I don't please people. And I don't care to please people. If I don't please God, see, I'd rather be a pleaser of Him than a pleaser of you. I try not to even please myself. I want to please Him. Now, the doctrine of Balaam is explained further in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2 and 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there what? Right here in the message, that's where. Right in the end time church of the living God, there are those who regard the doctrine of Balaam because of their greed. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now, how is it possible that the doctrine of Balaam would come right into this message just the same way that it came into the Pentecostal movement? Brother Brandt said from a sermon called Who Do You Say This Is? He said, see, that's what he'd done to the Pentecostals. They said a few years ago, when you all started up, you wouldn't go nowhere. There wasn't nothing to you. You'd burn out. You're just a bunch of fanaticism. But every time that they try to curse you, you come right on back again. God kept revealing His message down from the old assembly, way back in the beginning, the general council. Then He brought in, when they received the name of Jesus Christ for water baptism, then one jumped this way and another one that way, and one went off, organized this, that, and that. God kept blessing. Now, when He seen that He couldn't curse you, see, so what's He going to do? He's going to organize you, bring you. Oh, we're all one anyhow, see? We all believe in the same God. So that's just what Balaam did. And didn't Jude warn us of this? They erred in the doctrine of Balaam and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Doesn't Jude, the foster brother of Jesus, warn us of this in the Bible? They're like Cain, from the beginning, the hireling, the one that went to the church and built churches and built altar and sacrifice. They err in the way of Cain. They run in the way of Balaam and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Jude lays the whole thing out, just like we're doing this morning here before you, like we've been doing it. The whole thing lays there. They perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Just think of that. How bad that was. Just to think of what Korah, see? He said, now, we'll all go up to the feast. We're all one. The Moabites believed in God. That was Lot's daughter's kids. See? We all believe in one God. Fundamentally, they were perfectly right. Watch Balaam up there. Just as fundamental as any good Baptist or Presbyterian today. He come up there and there was Israel. That undenominated. There was a nation. Israel wasn't a nation. It was a people at that time. They didn't want to go God's way after a while. They wanted to be like the rest of the nation. That's when they began to fail. That's when they failed. But as long as they want to stay with God, all right. Balaam came out, he looked down and said, well, oh my, I know one of the ministers married another man's wife. They had plenty. And he forgot to hear the shout of the king in the camp. He never seen that smitten rock and that brass serpent hanging there for the atonement. He didn't realize that they wasn't hooked up to any organization. They was hooked up to God's covenant and were walking in that, see. And Balaam said, fundamentally, build me 7 altars. That's what Jehovah required. That's what Jehovah got on both sides. All right, put 7 calves upon it. That's what they was doing down there in the camp. Put me 7 rams on it because there's coming a Messiah someday. All right. See, fundamentally, they were both right fundamentally. See, but one day when he seen he couldn't get him on that, he said, if we could just organize ourselves together then. And that's where they made their mistake. And that's just exactly where Pentecost made its mistake, when it organized back like the rest of the churches. I'm not your enemy, I'm your brother. Some of these days you're going to find out that that's the truth. It may take a little while yet, a few turns of the sun, but someday you'll see that that's the truth. Then Balaam's doctrine hit them just, and that's what they wanted. We're all one, see? So there they went, all their prophets, and all went right with them, and was at the feast, the same said, and we all believe that there's one God, let's believe it. Just what they would have been looking for, just exactly. So they taught the same Godhead, right? That's what he said. Believe the same God. Had 7 sacrifices. They had, you know, they had the ram for the second coming. They had it all down. Fundamental doctrine right. 32 years ago, Brother Bill warned me that false teachers had come into this message to take the people away from the faith. He told me to read 2 Peter, which says this: but as there were false prophets among the people, even so shall there be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Bring it from where? From outside. In other words, from their own ways. Bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That's the Son. And by doing so, shall bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many, not a few, but many, shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, by what they do and teach, shall bring the real truth, which is the message, into disrepute or a bad reputation. And through covetousness, and we all know what that is, it's the greed that you said was the motive behind the doctrine of Balaam for money. With covetousness shall they with feigned words, those are words that they just make up, which are nothing but lies, and so with their lies shall they make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now notice verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, in other words, they are not born again, they have not God. Therefore they have not the doctrine of Christ, and they are made to be taken and destroyed, and it is these men who will speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now remember, at the end time there will be a vast influx of these evil men. They shall wax worse and worse, as Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:13. Excuse me, but evil men is poneros men. Now the devil himself is called poneros. Now, these are his children or his offspring. But evil men and seducers. And isn't seduction the method that the serpent used on Eve? Now, seduction is not rape. It is not a forcing. It is a very cleverly disguised way to get what they want, and it's called seduction. And these evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, or able to deceive, because they too have been deceived themselves, so they appear to be very sincere in what they believe, and they are very convincing to others to come together, and the larger the group, the better for they believe that safety is in numbers. But we can be thankful because as God's seed, we have been given an ability to be able to understand according to John 1 and 12 and 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 10. And that is why the Apostle Paul can tell us in Hebrews 5 and 14, but strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now in closing, we see the same thing in Malachi 3, 16 to 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance is written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I shall make up my jewels. And the Lambda's translation says, in that day when I come to assemble my people, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. So we're looking at a relationship between father and sons here. And because we are sons, we will know as we're known. And we will know the difference between righteousness and rightwisness and that which is error. Verse 18, then shall you return. So return to where? To where you began at, the starting point. And where was that? When we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. In other words, we will return to the original word. And you cannot return unless you were there to begin with. And when we have returned to the original word, we shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves none. And that is where we are at this evening, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And just remember, it is not your doing, but his doing that counts. For the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from poneros, from evil. The Lord shall keep you from poneros. He shall keep you from being influenced by the wicked one and his devices. And finally, Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Mostly, Father, because you came down. We're so thankful for your presence. We're thankful for your vindication of your prophet that you stood behind. You gave him the words to say, and he was loyal to only say what you put in his mouth to say. Help us to be the same. For you said the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, shall say only what the Lord has already said thus, or shall keep still. And help us, Father, to come to that place where we just have no opinion to share. And if we're not certain, we just don't say nothing. But we only say that which you have already spoken. That's thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his countenance to shine upon thee. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee.